The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 11th, 2023.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Boy, all those titles, it's kind of a mouthful. And good morning to everybody. It's a beautiful morning here in Sonoma County. It looks like it's going to be a pretty warm day. Today's 9/11, you know, 22 years ago, we had that horrible, horrific experience where they bombed the planes crashed into the Twin Towers in New York City. It's a day that I will never forget. And they call it today is Patriots Day. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later on the show. Joining me on the phone today will be Faith Ross, a dear friend of mine, chair of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, PBCD, and the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum. She's one of their curators. She develops several really wonderful, wonderful presentations at the museum. And we're going to talk about the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development's history and their event that's happening on September 16th at the Petaluma Community Center on McDowell in Petaluma. It's going to be a path to health and wellness, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about the program and what's going on and what motivates the wonderful program that they have there. They even have a youth program, which is just amazing, and I'm going to have Faith talk a little bit about that. Well, with so much going on in the world, I thought I would do a commentary at the second part of the show. I'm going to play some special music, and I'll be sharing some thoughts about what's going on in today's world, and also to share some thoughts about what I think about 9/11 and the impact it had on everybody here in the United States. I know it had a tremendous impact on me, and I will explain that. Well, I have some happy birthdays. Happy birthday to my great-granddaughter, Satori, who just turned 5 on September 6th, and it was an amazing gathering. Before the party, she played soccer and made a goal and made all of her own ice cream sandwiches in lieu of the cake. She made it all by herself, and she was so proud of herself, and she was so excited when she saw great-grandma Elaine and great-grandpa Ken, and she could tell us all about the soccer games. I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Our children are our future, and when you interact with them and you see the innocence and the trust they have, it just encourages me to keep going on and keep expressing what I'm thinking about the wars and how to have peace and some of the other issues that are going on in today's world. Well, I have some other special announcements to make. First of all, I want to do a shout out. Last week, I announced it that my dear friend Susan Chunko was put on Peace Wall, the Sebastopol Living Peace Wall here in Sebastopol, and I want to do a shout out for her. And I'm really excited because I'm going to have her on the show, the last show of the month on the 25th of September, and I'm looking forward to it. And she's going to read her speech, and I'm also going to have Susan Lamont, the two Susans that are actually on the wall. And there is also a special acknowledgement for Daniel Ellsberg, you know, the Pentagon Papers, and also he just recently passed away, and also Norman Solomon, who is another person who has been part of the peace movement for a long time, and then David Harris is another activist. And you know, it's really interesting and amazing that we have this wonderful, wonderful peace wall here in Sebastopol, you know, just as a kind of a reminder, you know, that we all need to work for peace. We all need to work and let our voices be heard. Well, like I said, I'm going to be talking to Faith Ross. We're going to be talking about the Path to Health and Wellness event that's happening on Saturday. That's this Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 2 at the Petaluma Community Center at 320 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And it's going to be a wonderful event. They're going to have the health screenings. They're going to have yoga teachings. They're going to have Zumba. They're going to have free flu shots. They're going to have eye exams and many, many, many health resources. So I think it's a very important event to happen. And also, you know, our health is very important. We have to take care of it. And, you know, whenever I go to any of these health fairs, I always have one thing in mind. What kind of changes do I have to make? I mean, right now I'm going through a real struggle, like I've talked about before. I have a little breakout on my skin, and it's really helping me to look at myself and look at what some of my habits are, to make sure I drink more water, to make sure I have my skin lubricated, to make sure I take care of myself. And that's what health is all about, is taking care of yourself, not waiting till you get sick and then all of a sudden something happens. So I really encourage folks to put it on your calendar. That's going to be September 16th. It's a free event, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of education to it. And when I get Faith on the phone, we will definitely be talking about it. Now, this is a little bit ahead of our times, but I think people should, you know, they're saying that there's many, many job opportunities where they're going to have a North Bay job fair, and that's going to be happening on the first one's going to be happening on Wednesday, September 20th, from 2:00 to 4:30 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts over here on off of 101. And then the second one is going to be at Elsie Island High School, and that's going to be on Wednesday, October 4th. And I think it's very important. And, you know, like I mention all the time, is that all the things that I announce is on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. So you can get all this information. But this looks really interesting. There's going to be two different job fairs, one in September, that's September 20th, and then one in October 4th. So it's something to look forward to, especially you folks out there who are looking for employment. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm just out of breath today. I've been thinking a lot about 9/11. I'm thinking about a lot of the different things. And, you know, I came across this quote by Ronald Reagan. And what he said is, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. And, you know, I remember when I heard that. I don't remember how old I was. I think it was in 1981. So I was 41 years old. I had already graduated college, you know, already went through the whole Vietnam War and all the different things that had happened, the women's movement. And here I was in my career in 1981. And suddenly, you know, Ronald Reagan gets elected, and he, in his speech, he says, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. Well, I never quite understood. You know, here I am some, 81, 91, 201, some almost 50 years later, and I finally understand what he means. Government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. Well, government is the problem for the wealthy, because what government is supposed to do is supposed to regulate things, supposed to make things safe for us, make sure there's equality, make sure we have our diversity, make sure that we don't have racism and all this division that we have. So government is really meant to set up to govern the people. I don't know if folks remember when I read the Declaration of Independence, when we had that on July 4th, I did that special program. One of the things it says, it right in the Declaration of Independence, that you must govern. There must be honest, ethical governors who govern for the people, by the people, and with the idea that we, the people, are in the format. But that's not happening today. Today, it seems like government is for the corporations and not for the everyday people. I mean, imagine they're saying that Medicare or any of these social programs are communistic or socialism, and that's bad. No, it's taking care of the people. It's governing. You know, we have regulations. I worked for a company. I'll never forget this. I worked for a company called, we made massage equipment. And we had a fire in the factory. And OSHA came out, you know, to check it out, and they gave us a timeline when we had to fix it. Well, the timeline expired, but OSHA came out to see what progress that we've been made. And, you know, we hadn't fixed the fire system, which is, you know, is not a safe way for our employees if there's another fire. I mean, the fire that we had was pretty damaging, and we didn't have a sprinkler system. So that was what they were saying that we had to do. We had to put a sprinkler system on. Well, when OSHA came back the second time, they were the cops, so to speak, of the manufacturing company to make sure that everything was safe for the workers. A regulation, workers' regulations, it could be safe in the factories. They came in. We hadn't done it. And I asked the guy, I says, well, what happens if we don't meet the deadline this time? And he looks at me and says, well, if you don't meet the deadline, we'll just close you down. Well, you better believe we had that. We had the sprinkler system up in no time. But those are regulations to make it safe for us. Why would we be against anything like that? Well, because when we had to fix the sprinkler system, it cost quite a bit of money. It took out of our profit. We had, you know, all kinds of adjustments had to be made. So, you know, government is the problem now, the way it's being run. We're not governing. We're it's almost like this greed factor that's living through it. Or I don't understand what is quite going on, but boy, it's really blurry lately. And we need to look at the importance of government and what government's role is. And to recognize that everything we do is for the future of our children. And if we don't start regulating and look at some of the issues and some of the problems we have without this, all this hate and all this confusion, you know, one person has one opinion, one person has another opinion, you get to the point where you don't even know what's real or what's true. And then what's happening to us, we're kind of out of sync. So there's a lot to look at and a lot to think about. And I hope that we sit down, all of us, and we, you know, have family discussions about all this stuff. See, what's going on, for heaven's sakes? What can we do? Well, I want to remind another announcement I have, and that's going to be next Monday. The Sonoma County National Organization for Women, their chapter is going to be having their Zoom meeting. And you can find out all the information. You can go on www.nowsonomacounty.org, or you can go on www.womenspaces.com and find out all the information. But they're having their monthly meeting, and it's going to be a business meeting. And we're going to, you know, it starts at 6:30 and ends at 8 p.m. And with all this is happening, with women particularly, women need to support women's organizations. They need to become a member of NOW. It's very, very important. The national organization has been around for over 50 years, and they do a lot for women. And now they're much more diversity. They brought in many, many women of color. In fact, we have – it's just the most – I mean, to me, it's like a rainbow. That's the way it looks with all the beautiful women that are coming on board. But I want to encourage people here in Northern California to join the National Organization for Women. The very least you can do is become a member, support the chapter. I think Sonoma County is one of the few chapters here in Northern California. The second thing you can do is attend meetings, you know, and the third thing you can do is just donate to the organization, but become active. It's very, very important. You know, there's a song, it's called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." By not joining these organizations, by not participating, by not demanding that our government has regulations and we're silent on it, look, what are we going to get? You know, people have to speak out. They have to speak up and speak out. And that's why when we come to the next segment, we're going to talk about our history as our strength. But last week, I made a mistake. You know, a very important birthday happened also on, what was that, September 6th? Ken, Randy's birthday? September 6th or 7th?
September 5th.
Oh, September 5th. Well, I forgot to announce it, so I want to say happy, happy, happy birthday to our dear friend, Randy Hurley. I believe he's 78 years young. I want to wish him a happy birthday. He is my number one fan.
He's 77.
Oh, he's 77. Oh, my goodness. 77 years young. And he's a really, you know, Randy's gone through some many, many challenges. And I want him to know, if he's out there listening, he is definitely an inspiration to me. I mean, some of the things and the way he is acting and carrying on and the positive attitude he has with all his challenges, I just want him to know it's a real, real inspiration to me. So happy, happy birthday, Randy. I wish you that for the many, many, many years of joy and happiness, especially up in that wonderful, wonderful property you're living on. And they're making all kinds of improvements and making it comfortable for you. It's just amazing. It's amazing what happens when people get together and they decide they're going to do something. It's almost magical, to be honest with you. Well, now we go into one of my favorite segments. I love this because it's our history is our strength. And I say this every single week. The only reason that I do this and why I think it's so important is two things. One, to recognize whose shoulders we're standing on and some of the sacrifices these women made. But the second thing is to give us confidence, to say, hey, man, hey, woman, if they can do this, so can I. You know, when I have to stand up or I have to speak out or I have to confront something or confront somebody, I think of Ida B. Wells going into reporting on lynching with all the death threats she had. I think of the Seneca Falls when the women's suffrage got together and how they were treated and what they were thought about. And here they were trying to come together just to get the vote. Just to get the vote in this country, that this is a free country and it's supposed to, no, you know, everything was men, you know, and here women standing up, and they took a lot of risk, a lot of chances. So, you know, these are the shoulders that we're standing on. Well, today, September 11th, but I'm going to go to September 10th, and this is Rose Norwood. She was a powerful speaker and labor organizer. She came from Kiev, Russia, so she was an immigrant coming over for probably her own self being oppressed and whatever was going on, organized the Boston Women's Trade Union, WTUL, led strikes, organized laundry workers, and served on the advisory board of the NAACP. Now, that is amazing. You know, that's amazing. So let's just look at her. Let's see. Rose, she was a Finkelstein. I knew it. She was a Jewish woman coming from Kiev. She married Hyman Norwood and the love of her life in a wedding gown made in a dress shop from Boston's Women Trade Union League, WTUL. Frankenstein had a little pool, of course, and she would be elected. She was elected president of the organization. And what a struggle they had to just keep their doors open for women. But it was one of the first few trade unions, if you remember last week, we did an interview with Lisa Maldonado talking about women in the trade unions and the powerful impact that they had. Well, here's another interesting woman I find. She was born September 11th, 1917, and she made her transition in 1996, and that was Jessica Decca Mitford. She was a British-born political activist, author of The American Way of Death, 1963, and she lived in Virginia, and she lived with Virginia and Clifford Durham and participated in trade union marches. The Durhams were very, very active in the trade unions. In fact, they were threatened with their lives and had some pretty interesting experiences to get the trade unions going. There was such a resistance. Well, of course there's a resistance. You know, you want the boss to give you a raise. You want to have decent working conditions. All cuts into their profit. That's the importance of unions. They stand up for you. They negotiate for you. They talk for you. You know, we wouldn't have an eight-hour day if it wasn't for unions. I mean, we wouldn't even have half the holidays we have if it wasn't for unions and demanding. We wouldn't have children that only – there was laws against child labor. At one time, can you believe that children could go into the factories at 5 years old? 5 years old. Can you imagine? I mean, my great-granddaughter was just 5 years old. I can't imagine taking that sweet little girl and putting her into some factory, and by the time she's 10 years old, her body's all out of whack. But all these things were made possible by these women who were involved in unions. Well, here's another interesting woman. I found this very interesting. She was born September 14, 1830, and made her transition in 1910. When she died, women still didn't have the right to vote. And that was Emily Edson Briggs. She became the first woman White House correspondent during President Lincoln's administration, the first president of the Women's National Press Association in 1882. I didn't even know that they had a press association in 1882. That is amazing. Well, then the last birthday, this is a very important woman, especially for women. She was born September 14th, 1879, and she made her transition in 1966. And that was Margaret Sanger. She was the pioneer in birth control and sex education, and she founded she was the predecessor to Planned Parenthood. You know, before that, when you start thinking about it, I mean, it was almost like women, I mean, Ken is doing a lot of work on his ancestors and my ancestors also. And we find out that some of these women had 11 and 12 children. Can you imagine that? I mean, oh my God. I mean, I had one child and I know what that was for me. I can't imagine it was 10 or 11. But of course, people died off then. It was very sad because of different diseases that they had. And then many people were farmers. So they actually needed the children. They needed the population. They needed the family for them to survive. But it's still very interesting that these women, you know, these women had no access to birth control. And when birth control first came, when Planned Parenthood first came on the scene, you better believe there was a lot of resistance. There was resistance from the church. There was resistance from the men. You know, there was resistance. What do you mean women all of a sudden are going to have a choice? They're going to have birth control? They might have sex and enjoy it? Oh, no, that's not possible. So thanks to Margaret Sanger, and you know, there was a little dip in her association with Planned Parenthood. She did believe in euthanetics, which is kind of trying to create this perfect race, this perfect master race where everybody just intelligence and everybody's on a certain equal footing, which I understand that the the Nazis kind of took over and kind of looked at it with their own eugenics program. So that was kind of a downside, but the upside was that she struggled to make sure that women had choice, that they had birth control. And women took advantage of that. They took advantage of it because it was too much, one child after another, and poverty. You know, one of the books that I read that I really felt explained the whole thing is a book called Angela's Ashes. And that really told the story of what women went through, how we were dominated, how women, men had, your husband had total domination over you. You could never say no. And if you got frustrated or hysterical, you could go into an insane asylum. I mean, and here's these women like Margaret Sanger, women like, you know, the ones we talked about, the union organizers. These are the women who stood up and say, no, we are women. We want to be treated equally. We have a right to equal pay. We have a right to good benefits. I mean, here we are, 2023. We're still struggling for child care in the workplace. I mean, it's kind of interesting. So there's a lot to think about. There is just absolutely a lot to think about. You know, and another thing, what I just want to just say one thing. 9 days after they opened the first Planned Parenthood, the clinic was burned down. So that lets you know exactly how supportive it was at first for women to get birth control. You know, there's a commercial. They have that commercial say you've come a long way, baby. Well, we have come a long way. But you know something, that long way, there all of a sudden feels like there's a noose around our neck, like they want to pull us back. They want to pull us back to when we had 10 and 11 children and we could not say no. I mean, we really have to be careful. That's why it is so important that women join women organizations, that we hold hands together in sisterhood and we say, no, we want a right to choose. We have a right to equal pay with men, and we have a right to an equal rights amendment. There's a lot of things that have to happen to make sure that women have a solid place in our country. And we have to recognize that. You know, I look at some of these young women, you know, I just get such a kick out of them. They have all these tattoos on their body with all these beautiful pictures. And I just look, whoa, that's freedom. I didn't have that freedom when I was growing up. I couldn't do that. I put a tattoo on me, just my initials, EBH. And I'll tell you something, what happened, I mean, my mother took me to a doctor. They dug it out. You know, I had so much guilt. You know, why am I doing this? And blah, blah. I don't have any freedom to do that. And then a second time, I went to school. In petal pushers, a black top. I'm almost wearing the same outfit that I showed up with, gold earrings and red lipstick. And I was suspended because I was violating, listen to this, the dress code. In other words, I had to wear a skirt and a blouse, you know, and always make sure you wear underpants. I mean, it was just crazy. It really was. I mean, what a freedom, what a liberation it was for women to have a right over their own body. What a liberation Roe versus Wade was, that we could make choice. And if you look at all the women that are involved on the television and acting, all that, look, we really took advantage of our freedom. But we are in this, you know, we're in this. It's a difficult time now, and we need to pay attention. That's why we need to join organizations, and we need to support them. Very important. They're standing up for our right. They're standing up for our rights to choose, and they're standing up for the rights of our daughters to be able to have any career they want and to put anything on their body they want and to have birth control and to have the right to choose. And that is very important. I mean, most of my life, you know, ever since, you know, it came into fruition, I know what it feels like. I knew what it feels like not to have that kind of right. Well, we're gonna take a musical break now, and we're going to be coming back, and we're going to be talking to Faith Ross, who is one of the I believe she's the chairperson of the Petaluma Blacks Community Involvement. And I really enjoy Faith. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. And all these programs that they develop out in Petaluma are very important to them, especially this path to health and wellness. So I picked a real good song. It's called There'll Be Some Changes Made, sung by Kathy Brayer. And the reason I chose that song is because, you know, when we go to health fairs and all that other stuff, well, we got to make some changes. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Faith Ross from the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. And she's also a curator for the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum. And we're going to talk about their history and the event that's happening on September 16th. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Change in the weather, a change in the sea. From now on, there'll be a change in me. My walk will be different, my talk and my name. Ain't nothing about me gonna be the same. I'm gonna change my way of living, and if that ain't enough, I'm gonna change the way I strut my stuff.
Start looking at your health and you're on the path to health and wellness, let me tell you something. You're going to make some big changes. I mean, I'm making some big changes with my health. One thing, I'm drinking water every day consistently. Very important. Very important. You know, you'd be surprised. But that line, nobody's going to want you when you're old and gray. Well, I don't know about that. I'm old and gray now, and a lot of people seem to want me. So don't let that bother you. For you folks just joining. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And joining me on the phone today is a dear, dear friend. In fact, I met her when I was on the Human Rights Commission. And one of the things I loved about Faith, she just welcomed me. She just has this welcoming thing. So welcome, Faith. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Well, I'm excited about having you, and I want to tell folks just a little bit about you, if that's okay.
Okay.
You know, Faith Ross is just amazing. She is the are you the president or the chair of the Petaluma Blacks?
I'm actually the president.
The president for the Petaluma Community Blacks, and we're going
Petaluma Blacks for Community Development.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about that program. When did that start? I know it was a brainchild of our dear friend Gloria Robinson out there in Petaluma, and you also work with the library. So talk about how you started the Petaluma, this organization, and what was the motivation and what were some of your challenges?
Okay. So Petaluma Blacks for Community Development really was the dream of Gloria Robinson. She wanted to see Black families gather for social activities and to learn what is going on in our community and get involved. The other reason, and really the most important, was to share Black history and culture with the community. Now, we have done this for over 45 years now. The organization was started in 1978. Our vision is to help make our community free of hate and get rid of those issues that divide us based on color.
Well, what were some of your challenges at the beginning? I mean, that was a big step to say, you know, because there were very few Blacks in 1978 in Sonoma County, and there must have been some real heavy-duty challenges that you met. How did you meet them, and what were they?
Well, the challenges were because there are no Black community, and you know, no Black little community in Petaluma or in actually Santa Rosa either. So the challenge was getting to know other Black families. And a lot of that, we met that challenge through, you know, our youth, our children going to schools in Petaluma. And many of the children were enrolled in the old Adobe at that time school district, because that's one of the school districts that's on the east side of town. And that's where most of the housing was. And it was affordable housing, so a lot of Black families moved in, and they moved into the east side of Petaluma. And so that was one of the really big challenges. And just, you know, just walking up to people and introducing yourself to them, Gloria was really good at that. She'd see families or she'd see a person of color in the store, and she'd walk up and introduce herself to them. And so that was one of the ways that we, you know, we actually got to know each other. And from the schools, we decided that we were going to have a picnic. And so making a flyer and giving it to every Black person that we saw and asking them to come to that picnic was absolutely a wonderful idea.
So the first, how was it, that first meeting, all of a sudden coming together and all of a sudden recognizing that you're going to become a community organization? How was that received in the community?
It was received really, really good. We had about 20 families. I just didn't realize ever when I moved to Petaluma that I would meet that many Black families in Petaluma at one, you know. And so we had about 20 Black families at that first picnic. And we talked, we exchanged, you know, telephone numbers and addresses and stuff. And we saw that our kids, some of our children knew each other because they were going to the schools. And so it was, you know, it was just a really, really positive event.
Well, I know for myself, when I was getting my master's degree from San Francisco State, I did my internship and I did actually all my papers at Petaluma High. And I was just stunned. I had no idea that we had such a strong African-American community until mm-hmm. I had that experience. And so I really believe that it was very, very important that you all got together. Where does the group stand today? I mean, what are some of your involvements? And also, I understand you have a very strong youth program going. I believe it's called the Grapevine. Talk a little
it
bit
is.
About that.
The Grapevine? The Grapevine is one of the things that we started in 2021. And our goal for that, it is called Grapevine Youth Leadership. We started that in 2021. And actually, the vision is to inspire and encourage Black youth to achieve excellence and exhibit a heightened level of confidence and a thirst for knowledge. Now, our goal is to empower Black youth to be leaders. We also want to provide a network for Black youth to create intentional community and connect with peers for friendship, support, and fun, and also provide opportunities to give back to the community to volunteer work and service projects. And, you know, we've been able to do that with our youth through all three of those goals.
Do you find, Faith, do you find, I know when I was working with young people out in Petaluma, I worked for Neighborhood Youth Corps at the time, and I found young people very, when you give them tasks or you give them goals, they're very enthusiastic. They really jump in. They feel important. They feel they're a part of. Do you feel that? And I feel that's the one, you know, the one thing, you know, they talk about gangs and they talk about all these other disruption with youth. And one thing I know, when you give them a sense of empowerment, let them know that they are okay, that they can achieve, that they somehow overcome some of those things. Do you find that to be true with this organization and what you're doing with your youth?
Yes, that is so, so true, Elaine, with the youth that we've come into contact with. These young people are really anxious. They want to know. And that's what's been really powerful for us. You know, so many of the young people in school are involved in sports and music and dance. And yet, you know, through our program, they take the time out. Most of them are there at the meetings, and they're engaged at our meetings and stuff because they want to learn. Plus the fact that they want that community. The youth in our program are not just from Petaluma. They're from all over Sonoma County. We have kids from Santa Rosa and Sebastopol and Pengrove and Cotati, some of the other areas too. And so it's a chance for them to get to know Black kids that are not at their school.
But also, you know, there's that old saying, children live what they learn. You know, they learn how to cooperate. They learn how to work together. They learn about friendships. You know, they learn about how to handle anger and all the different things that have. I mean, I remember my youth. It was, I mean, I'm not the same person I was when I was young. I mean, my God, it feels like the whole world is falling on your shoulders and you don't know what to do with it. So it's so important to have this guidance. So I really appreciate that you talk about that. And I think in my own opinion, you know, knowing you, knowing Gloria, I know that any program that you start is an example for others, and people need to pay attention because that's the way we're going to solve these issues. We're going to solve these issues by coming together as a community, a diverse community, and recognizing, you know, that I'm going to be doing a whole segment on In God We Trust. You know, we're all God's children. You know, we just need to come together. We're all children of the earth. Well, let's talk about this important program that's coming up. You know, as you saw at the beginning, I played that song, There'll Be Some Changes Made, because the whole idea of coming to a health and wellness program is to look at what you're doing. Maybe you have to make a few changes. Maybe you have to, you know, involve yourself with yourself more. So talk about it. What is this about, and what was your inspiration? Why do you think this is important?
Oh, Elaine, I think that with all of the things that are going on, this pandemic that we just went through, and it looks like or feels like it's coming back, you know, we need to have more of these types of things that are free and open to the entire community. Saturday is our health fair. We're calling it Path to Health and Wellness. This is our effort to connect with community health organizations and show our community what services are available to them and how to live a healthier lifestyle. The event is free and open to the whole community, and when I say all of Sonoma County, it is going to be held at the Petaluma Community Center, 320 North McDowell, and it is from 10 till 2. And let me just tell you a few of the people that will be there, a few of the people that will have services there. Kaiser Permanente, for sure, is going to be there, and they will be doing blood pressures and flu shots and stuff. So if you need a flu shot and you haven't gotten it and you don't want to have to pay for it, it's going to be free that Saturday. The Healthy Petaluma and Petaluma Health Center are both going to be there. They are health providers throughout our county, and they will have some very a lot of information, but not only some of like the blood pressure and weight checks and all sorts of things going on. Also, the Lions Club will be there doing eye exams and collecting eyeglasses to recycle. That's just really important. So some people don't get their eyes checked enough, and this is one way to get it done free and very easy. The Sonoma County Children's Museum will be there with activities for our youth, and there will be other other organizations there providing things for young people also, plus free giveaways. In addition to all of the services that will be provided, there'll be people who do insurance, and they'll be able to explain things to you and tell you where to get those services. But we all, Elaine, we have some prizes and stuff that we're going to be giving away. I think that it's going to be a fun and educational 4 hours for the whole family. So I'm hoping that people will take advantage of this and see all of the activities and stuff that are there and come out and participate.
Well, you know, Faith, you make it sound like it's like we just got to go. It just sounds so interesting. And getting all these people together, I mean, congratulations. I mean, and, you know, especially people can go and get a free flu shot, you know, and they, yes, and an eye exam. I mean, how much better can it get? I mean, it's once again, the community coming together for the community to help one another. And this is on
That's
the
it.
Level of health. You know I'm having a health challenge myself right now. So I know how important it is to have that kind of support. So, Faith, we've come to the end of our wonderful segment here. And is there anything else that you'd like to share? You know, how can people get a hold of you? Is there a website? I know everything that we are talking about, there'll be a flyer on the Women's Spaces program website. We'll also have a flyer on the Now website, you know, advertising and letting people know about this wonderful, wonderful event. Any last words for folks and any way they can get a hold of you and any website you'd like to send them to?
You know, Elaine, I really, really hope that our community will take advantage of this. I think this is going to be the biggest health fair that we've had here in Sonoma County. I haven't been to any that's going to be as large as this. They can get in touch with us at our website, which is pbcdforus.org, or they could just put our name in, Petaluma Black for Community Development. Our Facebook page and our Instagram and our website will come up so they can get that information. And, you know, and they can just go in and look at it.
Well, Faith Ross, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Faces, and thank you so much for putting on this program, and a special shout out to our dear friend Gloria Robinson for the work that she put in to develop this wonderful, wonderful organization that's called the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development, PBCD, and I want to thank you for being on, Faith, and you, I mean, you demonstrate, in my mind, true leadership, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine, for being out there and supporting us. We really appreciate that.
Well, we're family, Faith. You know, we're the family of human beings, and we're the family of women,
right.
And we are women, and we are mothers, and we are grandmothers, and we are going to stick together and make sure that people start loving and caring and knowing each other. So thank you so much for being who you are.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye for now. Wow, leadership. Women leadership, you know, health and wellness. Come on, get us all together so we can feel better. We can look better. We can strut our stuff, so to speak. And also we can become involved, because when you're not healthy, you can't get involved. It's very, very interesting. Well, now we're going to go on a little downbeat, but that's okay. You know, after the health fair, I feel like I just can't wait to go there. You know, I think it's just wonderful that they're doing this. Well, it's 9/11. Okay, you know, and this was a horrible thing. And I want people to know what was 9/11 to me? Okay, what 9/11 to me was very impacting. You know, I'm 83 years old. I was born during World War II. You know, I can't remember when my country was ever attacked. And there was an assumption that the attack, when the Twin Towers came down, there was an assumption that it was from a foreign outside. We still really do not know all the facts about that day. But the assumption was that it was an attack outside of our country. And all of a sudden, the thought of a country coming in and bombing us or having this happen and watching all the people run and watching the smoke, I mean, it was an absolute war zone for me. And I got more sensitive to what war was all about. Not that I wasn't sensitive before, but I actually saw the feeling in your own country of what it must feel like in these other countries that are having all these wars, and some of the wars that we are responsible for. You know, and I thought to myself, wow, this is really heavy duty.
you know, this could happen to us. You know, during World War II, we were very blessed. You know, we did not have a bomb, but I do remember blackouts. Let me tell you something. We would hear the sirens go on. My mother would pull the curtains and we would sit there shaking. I mean, because we thought maybe the Japanese planes were coming over. But this gave me a sense of war, you know. And then when we had this horrific thing happen, and then we go to war, and that war is still going on. We're still warring. I mean, there's so many. Now we got the war in the Ukraine. I mean, there's one war after another. And I start thinking about it. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to work on having peace? And so I thought, you know, I went through all my songs and all this stuff, and I found this one song by Bob Dylan. And this one, it's sung by Judy Collins, because I always like to find a woman singer. And it's called With God on Our Side. And why this song is so interesting to me, because he takes us through several world wars that happen. And all these wars, the enemy or the, you know, if you were in the good guys or the bad guys, whatever, they all said it, God is on our side. And I thought to myself, how can, you know, I believe in the great spirit. I believe in a higher power. I believe in a God of love. How could this entity, this thing called God, how could it be promoting war and other people to be killed and some of the misery that goes through? I mean, we have enough misery in Morocco. They just had an earthquake, not a war, an earthquake. 2,300 people died. Why do we have to deal with wars when we have to deal with all this climate change and all these disruptions that are happening? So I thought I would play this song, With God on Our Side, sung by Judy Collins. It's interesting to me because it goes through all the wars, and all believed that God was on their side. This is something to think about, you know. I mean, who is this God that's on their side that's promoting war? And I think that Bob Dylan, when he wrote this poem and put it into a song, I think it explained it very well. So let's go ahead and play With God on Our Side, and then when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion on it. So let's go ahead, Ken.
It means nothing, my age, it means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up there the laws to abide, and the land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charge, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charge, the Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on. Oh, the Spanish-American War had its day, and the Civil War, too, was soon laid away. And the names of the heroes I was made to memorize, with guns in their hands and God on their side. The First World War, boys, it closed out its fate. The reason for fighting I never got straight, but I learned to accept it with pride. For you don't count the dead when God's on your side. When the Second World War came to an end, we forgave the Germans, and then we were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too. But now we've got weapons rise of the chemical dust. If fire them we're forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and a shot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side. So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and fall to the floor. Oh, if God's on our side, He'll stop the next war.
Oh, talk about a powerful, powerful, powerful poem. That is this song. You know, it's very, very interesting. One of the lines is, the First World War, boys, it came and it went. The reason for fighting, I never did get. And that's also what happens in wars. All of a sudden, why are we there? What is going on here? I mean, we knew without a doubt that we were fighting a horrible dictator, but it's still at the same time, you know, during World War I, they just kind of forgot. Well, you know, why were they fighting? And that was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And then there's another thing when they talk about the Second World War came to an end. We forgave the Germans and then we were friends. Though they ordered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. I mean, they had the churches on their side, you know. You know, the Jews were Christ killers. Let's get rid of them. You know, they're the problem for everything, you know. And it was God. This was God telling them to do this. I mean, it's really crazy. But I love the last line. So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. That's how I feel. I'm tired. I'm tired of all these wars. You know, I had three of my uncles serve in World War II, coming back, say, this will never happen again. You know, and look what's happened, how many, and there's a song that he has added, Bob Dylan added about Vietnam War and some of the other wars. And what's so interesting about all these wars that we get confused. We don't understand what they're about. And especially the Vietnam War, when all of a sudden Robert McNamara comes out and says, oh, it was a big mistake. Well, we knew it was a mistake. Students got killed at Kane State for standing up against this mistake. So, you know, all these things, and this always with God on our side. But it says, it ain't no tongue can tell, the words fill my head, and they fall to the floor. If God's on our side, He'll stop the next war. Now, that's very interesting. If God is on our side, we'll stop the next war. You know, and when we look, you know, today we're celebrating 9/11, it's Patriot Day. That's what they call it, Patriot's Day. And it's very interesting when you think about what is a patriot? What does it mean to really be patriotic to your country? To me, it means just to stand up and say, we all must live in peace. We all must live together. We're a diverse nation. That's the beauty of our country. If people could just recognize it, that we are diverse. We have diverse religions. We have diverse ethnicity, diverse colors, all kinds of diversity. This is a melting pot for human beings. This is a grand experiment to see if we can live together. You know, and if we're going to say, let's have God on our side, let's start looking at what God are we talking about? Who are we calling upon? And what is our responsibility? What do we do to stand up? You know, if we're truly a patriot, you know, patriot, it's called Patriot Day. Today is 9/11, holiday observed in the United States on September 11 to commemorate the lives of those who died in the 2001 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon in Virginia, and those who perished when the hijacked United Airlines Flight 93 crashed in Pennsylvania. Why did that happen? What were we doing? What's our responsibility in it? So there's a lot to think about, and I really would encourage you to sit down and listen to this song and go through the lyrics. I'm gonna post the lyrics on Women's Spaces, so you can look at it. I think I'll actually post the song, so you can hear the song individually and look at the lyrics, because I think it's a very important song. Well, there's a lot to think about today, and I want to thank Faith Ross for coming in and for organizing this wonderful, wonderful program in Petaluma. I encourage folks to attend, get your health in order. Get your health in order, and it's a lot easier to get out there and stand up and be heard, I'll tell you. Having a health challenge is no fun. Let me remind you again, it's called the Path to Health and Wellness. It's going to happen on Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 2 at the Petaluma Community Center. And, you know, when Faith described it, she just made me so excited about it. I said, I want to go, and if you guys see me, I'll be happy to give you a copy of our Women's Pledges. Well, that's it for our show. A special thank you for listening. Also, like I said, a special thank you to Faith Ross, Chair of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development here in Petaluma, PBCD. A reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will air again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm excited to get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements, you know, like birthdays, anniversaries, please email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com. And a reminder, our children are the future, and a war economy is robbing them of the future. Think about what this song said, with God on our side. Think of us, how ridiculous it is to war anymore. Why aren't we sitting down at the table and talking to one another? You know, why aren't we taking a time out from all this nonsense? You know, look at what happened in Morocco. Another earthquake, 2,300 people. God bless them. You know, it's really a sad thing. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Coming to you, if not a woman in your life, she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 11th, 2023.